Urban Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Morena Kirsten.
Morena.
How are you?
Good.
Good, good.
I'm going to be honest here. I haven't been watching much Olympics.
Neither have I. I watched some of the skateboarding and that was really cool. I'm glad that's an Olympic sport now. That was pretty righteous.
It has been interesting, all the different sports added and more recognition of, of various things people do.
Yes.
But one part of it is the music, which
yes.
Some of the original pieces, so the modern Olympics that we have, I'm going to be all full of facts, just like the Olympics narrators, they're like walking Wikipedias. So the modern Olympics started in the 1890s, because there's the Greek ones.
Yeah.
And that's when they brought back. Saying we've kind of got a world now, let's do this. And some of the people that organized it, they were envisaging, this amazing musical and cultural spectacle too. And it never quite happened. It was like classical music, the opening, the parades, the flags. So in 1980, Russia had the Olympics and they did a much more fancy thing. So in 1984, LA had the Olympics.
Ooh.
And that's when you start to get those Olympic openings,
the drama.
The fireworks. It had, Lionel Richie with like a backpack that flew across the stage. And the funny thing about LA is so they're only allowed certain things, like the opening has to be formal and the flags and stuff. And then they're allowed an artistic spectacle to showcase the host culture.
Ooh, okay.
So what LA did.
I've never realized that was the wording.
Yes,
of it.
That's the wording. So what LA did is they showcased Hollywood, it wasn't America. So the song we're going to play this morning is one of the sort of iconic moments of it. So it's the guy who composed it is Gershwin. He composed it in 1924. I'm going to say the opening's iconic.
I love this song. I'm in a jazz bar.
I read a thing
that
says the opening
is
as iconic as Beethoven's Fifth. Like it's...
Yeah.
The most recognizable. So LA, just to be so Hollywood, and I guess this Gershwin's old Hollywood, because the song was written in 1924 for piano and orchestra. So they had, because it was 1984, they had 84 pianos playing it at the same time.
That feels so extremely 80s as well. How much can we shove into this?
84.
How big can we go?
And so people were just, whoa, what is this? So, this is iconic as well. And it was kind of a bum Olympics, too, because there was the Cold War and the Eastern Bloc. None of the Eastern European and Russia, they didn't come, which they're quite strong contenders in the categories. So, even the athletes get disappointed. Yeah, so this was hype and people's, jaws dropped and they wept. People wept.
People wept.
And, other stuff that happened at the Olympics, they had other musical elements composed by John Williams, who's a Hollywood composer, did Star Wars.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so this is just so Hollywood, white jazz orchestra.
That's very Hollywood.
There was another item at the end of one of the ceremonies where it went from Beethoven's Ode to Joy and mixed into Diana Ross singing Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand.
Wow.
That is just,
So the Olympic, all my memories of watching the Olympics as a kid or seeing the ceremonies, it is always bombastic. Big can you make it? It's quite camp usually. I mean, the best ones are. They're quite glittery, glamorous, as you said, mashing songs together that you'd never think maybe should go together. Outfits that got to be seen at the back of the stadium.
Yeah, I guess, is it because they want to, is it competitive with their culture? The athletes or, some of the original guys wanted it to be this grandiose global spectacle like the Olympics were, this acknowledgement of expertise and high culture. But of course, LA's pulled it out into what we have now. But so there's also music in all sorts of parts.
Yeah.
A lot of the music we're most familiar with is what our TV stations play over and over.
Yeah.
And so they have quite a lot of control over what songs they play. And we might be hearing something different from other countries.
Yeah. During the watching of the Olympics.
So you have that. Yeah, yeah. Then you have ads, which different countries will have their own. You have the opening ceremonies. You have the closing ceremonies. And like I said, the opening ceremony is two parts, the formal flags, parades, as well as the big hype. So there's actually a lot of music. And this is such an odd song because it doesn't feel Olympic-y. In
no,
that,
no.
You know, it doesn't feel sporty. And it has its own sort of iconography and the film that it was in.
So this is Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin. And someone's already texted in about the next one we're going to play. So I'm just gonna slowly fade it in. Oh, here we go. Dun, 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 dun.
Now this feels sporty.
This feels like maybe the yes. most iconic Olympic song ever. That's my big call on it.
So here's the weird thing. It was written for a 1981 movie about the 1924 Olympics. And it was used in the 1981 London Olympics. Wait, no, it was used in the 2012 London Olympics.
Yeah.
So it's got this, I mean, I guess it's, let's say, it's just really the, you know, that century, isn't it? It captures the whole.
Am I right in thinking, someone text in and correct me if I'm wrong, was this in this, like, skit that they played this
in? Yes, Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean, did he, like, run down the beach?
Yes.
Yes.
So that was very British as well, like, to have a kind of jokey... Yeah, that, and so, you know, very British, Mr. Bean.
I think the London Olympics in 2012 confused a lot of people. They were like, what is happening? Yes. People who had no idea who Mr. Bean was being like,
it was cute
what's
to
going
have
on?
Sort of a very British, cheeky, you know, not too serious...
Didn't they have, like, all the nurses on there at one point doing a dance?
I don't remember now.
What? I would like to know
so this
from the listeners what everyone's favourite Olympic song is, but also maybe Olympic ceremony, and can you tell me why, please? Because
Mr. Bean actually
like
ended
know.
Up on stage pretending to play along.
Yeah.
But the composer Vangelis is actually Greek, so I know the Olympics likes to keep that sort of connection. And he's a big film writer, too. He wrote, like, Blade Runner and other sorts of musics. But this song was thrashed. They used it for ads,
yeah.
these promotions. Now TV stations will still use it to open and close, like, for segments.
Someone has said for years I would confuse this song with Born Slippy by Underworld. I can actually kind of see how you would do that. I think fair enough. Very different songs, but I still get it.
Another fun fact that the name of the song is actually Tidal, because it was the title music for Chariots of Fire.
Oh,
and they
okay.
never gave it its separate song. And even
doesn't
the,
this make you feel some sort of a way?
I know it does, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm ready to run a race.
And lighting the torch.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a cauldron first and then a torch. I love the cauldron.
The cauldron and then the torch.
Sort of makes everything feel significant.
Yeah.
And it's from a Bible verse and a Blake poem. So, it like the Olympics, it has that sort of long-term, even though it's electronica, it was quite groovy at the time.
Yeah. That beach, that running down the beach scene is so iconic. And I've even got the colorscape in my head, you know?
Yeah.
And that movie was about, you know, overcoming adversity. It was about two British runners, a Jewish runner and a Christian runner who didn't want to run on a Sunday, and, you know, brotherhood and friendship and, you know.
All the pillars of sport.
Yep.
Or something.
Well, it's apparently considered one of the most iconic sports films of all time.
Yeah. I mean, if I know about it, then it must be be pretty iconic.
Won heaps of Oscars. The song got an Oscar. No, this is so weird. This is really weird. So, 2018, the Winter Olympics were in Korea, and Korea wanted to showcase themselves. And Korea has really, like, their own classical music, and, you know, they have one of those openings, like Japan, where you nod to sort of ancient cultures and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, let's have some K-pop, because that was right at the cusp of when K-pop was becoming not just for Korea.
Yeah, hitting the Western mainstream as well.
In fact, this artist, CL, was living in the States at the time, so she came back for it. So this is her song called Baddest Female.
Okay.
And she later, as a medley with this, she did her other song called I'm a Bitch. No, hello, bitches. But it's just like, Korea's like, feel like, let's try to showcase our K-pop. And then they just, I don't know, did they realize what they got? Because she wears, like, leathers and chains.
Well,
and
this was when we were talking about these songs yesterday in the office. Amelia was like, I had no idea this was an Olympic song, because it's also just like a huge pop song in the K-pop world as well.
I just like, did they listen to it first? Did they...
I think it kind of rules.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, this, pump you up before a competition.
This young Korean woman, you know, with her black leather and chains, you know.
Okay.
She had been in a girls group, a really popular one, to anyone.
Okay, we've got some good text scrolling through here. Shout out to the person who says, don't really care about the Olympics. Fair enough. Some people don't, and that's absolutely fine. But shout out to the other person who said their favorite moment was the giant dancing knives in Javier Mascapal costume designs for Barcelona. Big mood.
Oh, and the Freddie Mercury Barcelona song.
Yes. We've also got Don't Forget in Barcelona as well, Freddie and Pavi doing that track.
Yes.
We've got a few texts in about that Freddie Mercury song.
Yeah.
Amazing. Björk is another excellent bit of...
But here's the weird thing. Her song's called Oceania.
I'm like, oh.
Does she know us?
Has she visited? Someone says, don't forget the spectacle and hit single Join Together for the 1974 Commonwealth Games in Christchurch. So obviously...
Oh, I missed that one.
There's a bit of a vibe going in the Commonwealth realm there too.
Because there's a Whitney Houston one, One Moment in Time, which to me sounds like a Whitney ballad. I mean, I didn't realize that's an Olympic song.
Yeah.
Celine Dion has one, like...
This bit here? Doing some javelin. Having a pole vault.
It's interesting to hear how countries want to rep themselves, you know? Like, not our perspective of them, their perspective of how we perceive them.
Mm.
Yeah, I rate this. If I was about to go do some floor gym, I would be hyping myself up to this track, I think.
Well, yeah, because I often picture K-pop as more, you know, girls in pink and little short skirts.
There is definitely that side of K-pop.
So it's really cool that they chose her, and she was trying to celebrate, you know, power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Okay, so this is CL with The Baddest Female. Of course we listen to Vangelis, Chariots of Fire. And Gershwin, George Gershwin with Rhapsody in Blue.
84 pianos.
You honestly
so
couldn't
dramatic.
Get three more different songs there.
I know.
It's a wild thing, and it must be quite a lot of pressure if you're the artist or one of the artists that has to do an Olympic song.
Yeah.
You know, you need an anthem.
And because you want to capture your own, but you also want to be universal. And the musical director for this one got fired a couple days beforehand.
Really?
Sexual.
Oh.
And
not
a little
good.
Bit of racism.
Get out of there.
Hey, the Olympics are, you know, mired with a little bit of that, to be honest. Thanks for bringing us Olympic tunes today.
Yeah, so maybe you guys will be in the vibe now.
Yeah, I'm ready to watch some
sport. Or just listen to the music.
I'll do a sprint.
Don't watch the Olympics, just listen to Olympic music.
Thank you very much, Kirsten, for bringing us Olympic theme songs today. What else are we going to be talking about next week?
Oh my gosh, Stomp and Flutter.
What?
Stomp and Flutter.
What is that? Yeah, I know. Gosh.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will.
Y'all keep coming up with things, people.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
All right. Well,